Hello, my imaginary friends. SM2N here. It's Saturday, the 19th of May, 2012. This is my audio blog. Right, McColgan. I need to respond to McColgan's boo on the subject of my biogram. And also a little bit to Slandy as well, who was asking about it. So thank you very much, both of you, for your questions. Let me just call up my my notes, make sure I cover everything I'm supposed to do. So here we are. So plain text on my iPhone. Right. So just to let you know, I'm recording this on the iMac, so I'm using my mixer. I'm using that plugged into the computer. I don't think the signal's going through very strongly onto the iMac. So let me just change the level. So just increase that on the main mix. And now I can see the bars going up and down a bit better on the computer. I'll just take my headphones down a bit on the mixer. So yeah, that's better, isn't it? In fact, it might be a bit too high. Maybe just pop that down again. How's that? Is that better? No, it's still over-modulating. Yeah, let's take that back down to there. No, it's still too... Oh dear, I can't get this right, can I? How about there? That's about right. Right. I'll just take the headphone mix up again a bit more so I can hear myself. Yeah, so Mac was asking, do you use speakers or earbuds for listening to the music from the biogram? And the answer to that primarily is I've been using headphones, because I've got a bit of a simple setup really. When I was a teenager, I got myself a stereo. A very cheap micro, whatever, stereo, mini stereo thing. I got it secondhand from a shop for 60 quid, and it was a Seychelles thing, so Dixon's own brand. That was my stereo, really. Before that, I had a record player, and I had a cassette player and stuff like that, but that was my first sort of big stereo that had a record player and tape decks in it and speakers and all that sort of thing. And then I got a CD player second hand as well, and bolted that in. And that was my stereo for my sort of student years. And then kind of stopped using it really, and just it ceased to be a sort of big part of my life, listening to music on a stereo. When I got into my working life, and then I think, you know, when things like iPods came along, I really sort of just switched to more mobile setup. So yeah, okay, my car stereo was probably my most important stereo for a while in my 20s, so when the iPods came out, it was more there really. So I never upgraded my stereo, and I think for the last sort of 5 or 10 years the stereo has just been in the garage, and you know, and just not being used at all. So I'm starting with a sort of fairly simple setup, sort of starting again from scratch. So I've got this mixer. I've got a Behringer mixer which can do six channels. It's a six channel mixer, and that's what I'm speaking to you through at the moment. And so I kind of got that for doing podcasting, I got my first Behringer preamp for when I was sort of making music. But this Behringer mixer is sort of the main, it's just sort of the central part of my setup these days. So that basically just got wired into an iMic, a Griffin iMic interface, which then is USB into the iMac or whichever computer I've had. So it's been all about mixing stuff through that mixer into the iMac. With the Bang & Olufsen Beergram coming along, it's just it's a new input. So yeah, the Bang & Olufsen comes with a 5-pin 180-degree DIN connection, which I hadn't seen since my first record player I mentioned before. So wasn't really sure, once I got the thing turning, I wasn't really sure how to get that DIN connection connected up to anything. That's when I called upon my good friend James Syzygy on Twitter and Audioboo, and asked him for a bit of advice about what I should do next. So it was pretty clear I should get a cable that would convert the DIN connector into RCA jacks. So I ordered myself up one of those, but I wasn't sure whether I'd need a preamp or anything, or whether I'd just be able to plug that straight into the mixer. So yeah, James was able to set me straight that I did need a phono preamp. I couldn't use my mic preamp, for instance. Once again I chose Behringer because it's a name I trust and it's a sound that I like. So I got myself a very small Behringer phono preamp, and that's what the record player now is plugged into through that DIN connector, through the DIN adapter rather, which I'm still quite proud of myself for resoldering that to get it the right polarity, or well, not polarity, but to wire it up to the input rather than output. That goes into the Behringer, and the Behringer and the output from the Behringer is another pair of RCA connectors or a 6.35mm stereo headphone jack. So, and you know, get a line level out from there. So then I've just wired that into the mixer. So it's now a channel on my mixer. So the mixer, mixers are cool, especially for doing podcasts with two people in. So I've got two microphones, this microphone here I've got going in level in number two, line number two, and of course I can push it over to the left if I want to, or a bit further towards the middle, or over to the right. That can be quite good. I can have another microphone in channel one, and let me just grab that microphone. It's going to make a lot of noise, sorry about that. So there's the other microphone, that's in the middle. I could push that one over to the left. So now I've got one on the right and one on the left. You know, so you can do tricks with having the microphones on different channels. Let me turn that one down. Right, I put it back in. Right. And then, of course, I can modify the bass levels. Whack the bass up really high, or take it all the way down, or the treble, I can take the highs and lows. So yeah, I can obviously influence the sound that I'm getting through the mixer, and of course the relative levels of each of those. My record player is now going in there as well. So if I hit the play button on my record player, you can hear the silencer switch doesn't work because you can hear it moving around. You can hear a bit of a hum going. Oh, that's loud, isn't it? We should turn that down a bit. So that's definitely analog, isn't it? All that crackle. Of course it has to be dire straits, doesn't it? Thank you. See from there, from the strobe lights, the strobe markings on the side of the record, I can see that it's going a little bit slow. No doubt the Dire Straits aficionados would have noticed that already. Questions really. So I can play it through the speakers of the iMac. Obviously, by for instance, by using GarageBand, because that will play through, monitor the signal that's coming in. So that's good. But yeah, it's really nice listening on these Grado headphones I've got here. Really good. Really hear everything really clearly. It's lovely. You can hear the record is slightly too slow. speed checks. So I did a keek earlier on. So I followed Mac's advice and printed out a speed check phono, a strobe disc. Printed that out and cut it out, made a little hole in the middle and stuck it on the record, and yeah. It told me the strobe markings on the turntable itself told me that, yeah, it's going slightly too slow. But then I thought, wow, the iPhone has got a compass in it and an accelerometer and all this kind of stuff. Maybe it will know if I could put the iPhone on the middle of the record. It could spin around. And is there an app for that? And there is, sure. iRPM is the app. And so I did a little kick video showing my iPhone spinning around. Yeah. So it's rather cunning. So I can find out just exactly how slow it is using that. So yeah, check out that Keek. So I need to work out how to get the speed up to the right speed. So sometimes, according to my friends on the BOforum.org, sometimes if you just let the turntable spin for long enough, it does kind of loosens up and gets up to the right speed. So and I'm sure at one point today it was doing 33 and a third RPM exactly. I've muted the record now, because otherwise I'll just start the beginning of the next record. Yeah, so other than that, it's a matter of changing belts, opening up the motor and re-greasing it with sewing machine oil and all that sort of thing. So I might try all of those things to see how I can get up to speed. I tried it on 45 as well, and again it was slightly slow. So at least it's consistent in that respect. I don't know anything about adjusting the balance or the tracking on this on the Beogram. The tracking. So I've read the service manual that Slandy was kind enough to send me, and it talked about how to adjust the stylus to make sure it was level. So I can have a go at that, I guess, at some point if it's sounding wrong. Well, you've heard it now. Obviously, a digitized version of that record, but maybe you can tell me whether the balance and tracking are out. I guess for me at the moment, the fact that the speed is out is a bigger concern. So I'm going to concentrate on getting the speed right to start with, and then I'll see if there's anything to that I need to adjust about balance and tracking and stuff, and indeed the stylus as well. Can you tell me from what you've just heard whether the stylus is you know in a bad state or whether it's reasonably okay? I get the impression that the styluses for these Beogram 1200s are not easy to come by. It's a 40-year-old machine. They don't make them anymore. Suffice to say. That'll be interesting to hear, but it'd be good to know whether people think that the stylus is in a good state or not. I guess I should keep my eyes open for styluses for this device. If this device looks like it's a goer, I guess if I can't get the speed corrected on it, then I'll probably need to discard it and get another record player. Until I know that I've got everything's going to work, I don't really want to invest in spare styluses and stuff like that. And that was the other reason why I didn't want to spend too much on pre-amp power amps and stuff like that. Right. Well, I notice I'm running out of time. Somebody seemed to think this was a £1,200 or dollars turntable. And I don't know. I don't think it was, but I know that you can get them now. When you can get them on eBay, they are about 20 quid or something. So they're not. It's not a very valuable. And I don't think this was an award-winning sound quality turntable. More of a award-winning design. So there we are. Toodle-boo.